You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, okay. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Lord, now please add your blessing to this, the reading of your holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Well, we're enjoying a new flock of hummingbirds have just come in. And so all through the summer, we've had about three. And now it looks like we've got about seven of them, I've counted out, at one time. And they are doing war against each other, doing these ewes. And flying after each other, whoom, whoom, like that, and making all these interesting sounds, and then sometimes coming right up to my face like this and looking at me. And of course, I make sure they've got plenty of nectar there to feed on. And we found that we had some really hot days, and I bought this time some feeders that have a plastic bottom on them, you know, for the hummingbirds. And with the heat, crack developed on the bottom of them, that's, you know, where they screw, and so therefore the fluid will leak out of there. So a couple of my feeders have gone bang, but I haven't thrown them away. I'm going to glue them up and see if I can repair them. I'm a Scotchman after all. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've got together, for all the grace that's come to us in the person of Christ, the opportunity to rightly divide the word of truth, and to seek out the manifold wisdom of God. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, for those of you who are wondering why it is that I've got this book here, the big book, and the reason is because this is the companion Bible, and it's becoming very... It always has been valuable to me, but when it came to Proverbs, I found this particularly useful. And so I'll be certainly making use of it. And last time we did Proverbs chapter 1, which is just a fantastic thing. One of the things about this was the introduction of Lady Wisdom, Chokmah. And she cries out at the gates. She's loud, she's there. The trouble is, many times people don't listen to her. And what happens is they will ignore her voice until it's too late. And an event occurs such that they need to have built up this wisdom and gained the spirit. In the scriptures, it talks about her giving of her spirit. And that spirit of wisdom has been ignored. And then when wisdom is needed, it's too late. And it's a matter of a rule that what will happen is that people will make the wrong decisions and things will develop in a direction where Lady Wisdom will laugh when that calamity comes. And it's a terrible situation we find happen, and we're seeing it a lot. Now, the other thing that I wanted to point out about this whole business is that if you look, for example, at Proverbs, it has this wonderful structure through it. And I just want to get to that right here, just to remind you about it, that it portrays this fantastic structure where there's the words of the wise, the words of the wise for Solomon, for a prince. And then what you have is Proverbs by Solomon. and generally for all. And then Proverbs for Solomon. You get this alternation going on in the structure that you'll get Proverbs by Solomon for all and then Proverbs for Solomon. And understanding this actually brings forward a great teaching and doctrine and a more clear understanding of the importance of Proverbs and how that people are involved with ruling today, people who have responsibilities over people, they need to get into this book and understand that there's wisdom here, instruction here, specifically for you. And that to me is just amazing, right? That people today, they could go to the Proverbs, and all those people who are going for office, those who want to be senators, or whoever, or the president, whatever place you find yourself, maybe you're the head of a company, whatever, you will find in here specific instruction for you. And we were reading in chapter 1 how that you, those that are in this place of leadership, you better watch out for the usage of money, gain, because it's a net. And you can see it happening, and without wisdom, you will just fly right into it like a bird and be trapped and be used. And so, as we said, follow the money. And right near the end, it talks about in verse 20 of chapter 1, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. And then in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. And this is not the kind of fear that will bring the beginning of wisdom, but another kind of fear which is really destructive to us, to the soul. And your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Isn't that interesting? You know, you sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. And boy, do we see that happening today. Massively around the world. There is no good leadership when distress and anguish cometh upon you. And then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. Here's a rule then. There is a season for wisdom, man. And when she cries, you better listen. You better take advantage of it. The other point about this is that you find that there is a responsibility to us. It's not simply a matter that we pray to God and then God is miraculously just going to do all the work for us in relationship to wisdom. No, we've got to get down and we've got to do something. And sometimes that's real work. For example, the Lord Jesus himself said, take up my cross and learn of me. And learn, there it comes, the wisdom that comes from practical usage. And then in verse 30 it says, they were none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. Oh man, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Death. Excellent instruction, first of all, for those who are in places of authority and rulership. You need to take heed of this, big time. Now, we're going to move on from this. I want to move on into the next part of this. Of course, this is the idea of the simple is right throughout this book. It's really interesting. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word. Gullible. The gullible, man. We are not supposed to be gullible. We're not supposed to be the ignorant. No. We're supposed to be informed. We're supposed to have understanding. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Circumspect. Circumspect. With understanding, making decisions. Really cool things to understand. But today what we're going to do is we're going to get into Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to be honest in my word here. We're going to try and get through a chapter each time. So notice it begins with my son. My son. This is the perspective that we get here, which come from chapter 1, verse 6. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now there is often plays on words. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Dark here means like depth and the point of the saying. The point of the saying comes with a lot of study, and it's deep. It's dark only in the sense that you can't necessarily simply see it. It's something you've got to dig into. Just like the parables of our Lord, Matthew 13. They are deep. They are not light. They're not on the surface. They're deep. And in that sense, dark. But then there are the other ways in which this word dark is used. And it can be used in the path. There's the dark path. And that's used for the fruit of going against the deep and the dark sayings of wisdom. But anyway, we'll get there. So my son, this is now these wise men addressing. And when you think of how you address someone as my son, you remember Timothy was addressed that way by Paul. And you think of the love that engenders, that there's a concern when you address someone as my son. There is a very close connection implied and a care with it. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now where it says hide my commandments, it's like a treasure trove. Like what would you do with your gold and your silver and your precious stones, all right? You treasure them and you respect them and you put them in place where they're not going to go missing. You know where they are. I think this is one of the problems we have with people who think about where they're going to put their money. You know, they're going to buy gold. And the next thing is, where are you going to put it? Well, we're going to leave it in New York in a safe there. Well, yeah, right. I wonder how that's going to work out for people when it all hits the fan. You know what I'm saying? So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Oh, wow. Now, when it says incline, it means point your ears in that direction. Point it. Again, responsibility. What I notice about this is that this is not about armchair belief. This has to do with an active ingredient. You go after it. Right? You've got to go after it. And you've got the Word of God here, and we know that the instruction for us today is going to come to us by those very principles that we read in the first six verses of chapter 1, which involves discerning those discernible speeches. That is right division, man. That's it. And it says, incline thine ear. You know, Spock's ears, those pointy things. He's supposed to be a person of wisdom. I know, you know, many scenes where you see Spock, and he's not too wise, and he comes up with a few communistic sort of slogans. But he's supposed to represent that. If you look at his ears, those Vulcan ears, they're pointable, right? And when I think of animals, if you notice the wild animals, yeah, those deer, man, huge ears. And they point them up, and they're movable, man, movable. They can see you coming. Seppi and I, we always see them. We see these deer everywhere out at Lake Thunderbird, and they have such beautiful faces, these things. The deer have got beautiful faces. But whenever we are near, they're up, and their ears are pointed. They're directing their ears. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and applying thine heart to understanding. Now you see that there. So much of what we do is involved with head understanding. And I'm teaching mathematical things, scientific things. And a lot of that has to do with head understanding. But what we are interested here is the heart. There are things that move a nation which relates to the heart. And if you can get the heart of a nation together, man, it can be unstoppable. Do you remember in the history of this country? This country had that kind of heart at one stage. There was a unity here. There may be disagreements over various issues, but when it came down to the substantial majors, they were united. And with that came healthy competition amongst the states, new inventions which changed the world. Got to do with wisdom, a kind of wisdom, right? And it says here, verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, liftest up thy voice for understanding. Boy, isn't that what we need to do? We need to see more voices lifted up for understanding. If thou seekest her. Now, in chapter 1, Lady Chokhmah is introduced. Lady Wisdom comes. Now, what you're going to find now is an interesting other diversion, which is another lady. Another lady is going to come on the scene. And this will show you the other side. Why is it the Bible talks about Lady Wisdom? Well, because there are other females coming in here that show you the adversative. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Isn't that interesting, right? That hiding away is like you do with treasures. And here it comes up again. Thou shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Okay, so there is an understanding that comes of the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so getting on the path to understanding is to understand this great piety that comes from believing in the Lord. And find the knowledge of God for the Lord. Notice it's all capitals. So that is Jehovah. Giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, if this is the word of God, if this is the word of Jehovah, looks like one big profitable place we can go to is right in front of us that has been preserved for us. We can read and understand. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, like a shield maker, someone that can put together armor to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, keeping it, and preserveth the way of his saints. This is an interesting thing that God would do this, right? He preserves the paths of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Notice the word there, equity, which has been taken today and been obliterated and changed and perverted, so that in the end what we get is racism. Oh, well, see, what we've got is we've got racism. So we've got to institute equity, which is just racism. So we've got racism, and we're going to fix racism by racism. Yeah, this is the kind of woke nonsense that we get. What we need is what this word means, which is uprightness. And the uprightness comes from a clear understanding of the Word of God as it seeps down into the heart, and we can walk the ways of God. It comes from right division in one way or another. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So there is the keeping, understanding. Notice the very important part of good understanding. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward, that's perverse things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. That's what I was saying at the beginning. The ways of darkness. Not just one way of darkness, there's many, many ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked. You know, the crookedness of man is amazing to behold. And you think of a path that is crooked, and how easy it is, if you've got a crooked path, to go in all sorts of weird and wonderful directions. When I say wonderful, I mean strange. And they froward in their paths, perverse in their paths. Verse 16. Now here it comes. This is the part which is kind of interesting to me. Very interesting happening. This is, by the way, just a recounting of how my son is repeated through the scriptures. Obviously a very important part in showing you the detail of the scriptures and how in the end this doctrine that we're teaching about is respectful and is caring It's got some sort of relationship going on here, or family. It's not being addressed to someone that is disheveled and placed over there, but someone that's close. Someone that the author is very interested in and is in care of. Now, as we get here, and I want to show you, this comes from the Companion Bible, but look down here at verse 16. It says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. This is the foreign woman. And if you notice the structure that I've put up here, this alternation here, first of all, you've got the wisdom's call, right? But in verse 16 of chapter 2, we begin the foreign woman here. So you've got wisdom's call. This is Lady Kokhma. This is the one who's crying at the gates, trying to get people's attention. But there is another woman also out for attention. And here she makes her appearance. Verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Flattereth. Oh yeah, you look so nice. You are so smart. We've all heard flattering words. And sometimes they'll come your way directly, right? Flattering words. And, you know, even if there's an element of truth in the words of flattering, we know that if we listen to those words overly much, there can come a puffing up of yourself, and you become vulnerable to taking a wrong path, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. That's interesting. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. But wait a minute, if this was a foreign woman, then who would be her God? You see, who would be her God? Well, you see, this is a bit of a feigning going on here. She's taking on a position of having left her God, but really, underneath, the foreign woman is bringing this in underneath. She's not what she is claiming to be. She's something else. And it says this in verse 18, for her house, and this is by figure, meaning her household, for her house inclineth unto death. And her paths unto the dead. Now, this is where Hebrew will really give you some help. And when it says here the dead, it means the Rephaim. The Rephaim. Now, the Rephaim are the giants, the offspring of the angels. The offspring of those who left their first estate and produced all kinds of weird offspring. And so I've got this quoted here. And in Isaiah 26:14, you can look at this in its context. Have a look at it. Look what it says about this. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. This is the Rephaim. Those that are translated as giants. Those that were the offspring of the angelic crowd. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. They shall not rise. Why not? Resurrection, you see. These ones don't get a resurrection. That's an interesting thing. But they look like humans. They look like humans. So right here in verse 18, for her house, that is this woman of the Canaanites, right, inclineth unto death and her paths unto the Rephaim. None that go unto her return again. This is the general principle that's being taught here. None that goeth unto her shall return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. These are the dark paths that she will get. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land. Very specific, right? This is instruction to Israel. And while we can generally understand principles here that will work in general for our situation, there's also very direct knowledge here given to Solomon, right? And what was the problem with Solomon? The strange woman, right? The strange woman. And the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Israel was supposed to be like Noah, perfect in his generations, perfect, undiluted in his genetics, not supposed to be joined with the strange woman and produce progeny which will not rise again, just like the Rephaim. See? Now this is kind of, you know, to a lot of people, this is really weird stuff that I'm saying here. And yet, I believe that this is a part of the manifold wisdom that we are supposed to get. We're supposed to get this manifold wisdom. There is a direct connection with some of our other teachings that we've come across recently. And we should not forget those connections. So when we come through this particular passage in chapter 2, we now get the introduction of the doctrine of the foreign woman as opposed to Lady Kokhma. And Lady Kokhma and what she's saying is going to go directly against what the foreign women say. It's going to be an interesting enlargement of doctrine around this whole issue that we'll bring up as we go through the book of Proverbs, man. It's a rock and roll, friends, I'm telling you. There's some good material in here. And what I want to do is, I want to bring this in to some of the teaching that we get from Paul the prisoner to bring up the manifold wisdom of God that we can be instructed in. What do you think of, for example, the book of Ephesians? That goes six chapters, the first three, heavy dispensational teaching. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, what do we see there? We see wisdom, man, for this age. Part of the manifold wisdom of God, where we take the doctrine, heavy, large, deep, and we see it played out in life. And it's practical, it's real, and we need to take a hold of it. Well, let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this teaching, Lord, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. And as we get introduced to these two ladies, Lady Kokhma and the strange woman, Lord, we thank Thee that we've got clarity in it. And we can see more and more about how there is a perverse way, and that within politics and within the ruling group, we see wisdom and we see those that go against wisdom. And Lord, we pray that we could use at least our vote for that which is more wise. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.